On behalf of the Professional Baseball Strength and Conditioning Coaches Society, I'd like to welcome you to the PBSCCS podcast. I'm your host, Chris Messina. Everybody, before we get into this episode, I just wanted to give you a brief introduction. This episode and the next episode are going to be to promote our upcoming webinar. The webinar will be on April 10th. This episode will be with the nutritionists that are presenting at the webinar, and then the next episode will be with one of the strength coaches that's presenting. The title of the webinar is The Importance of Nutrition, Strength, and Mental Health in Sports. And you can sign up on the PBSCCS website. So go to baseballstrength.org, click the events tab, click the 2021 events, and it'll be the first event there. It's only $25. We have a great lineup of speakers. And again, you're going to hear in this episode and the upcoming episode about the presentations, about the speakers, and kind of just the overall collaboration between the PBSCCS and the CPSDA. So again, go to the website, sign up. It's going to be a great event. And with that being said, let's get into the episode. All right, everybody. Tonight's episode of the podcast is going to be another group episode. I'm going to have everybody introduce themselves, and then we'll get rolling. So we'll go Wendy, then Allison, and then Allie. Just name, position, organization you're with, responsibilities, really anything you want to throw at us to introduce yourselves. You guys have the floor.
Well, thanks, Chris, for having us. It's a pleasure to be here. My name is Wendy Sterling. I'm with the Oakland A's. I am a sports dietitian and a certified eating disorder dietitian, and I have been with the A's for, I think this is my sixth season. I've also worked with the Golden State Warriors and the New York Jets. I was with the Jets for about six seasons, I think, as well. I am passionate about working with eating disorders and athletes who have eating disorders as well. And in my private practice, that is who I see a lot of. I've written a couple of books, How to Nourish Your Child Through an Eating Disorder, as well as No Way, A Teen's Guide to Body Image, Food, and Emotional Wisdom. With the team, I work with the players. I also help to plan food on the road and at home.
Hi, Chris. Thank you so much for having us as well. My name is Allison Maurer. I am the Director of Sports Nutrition and Fueling with the Pittsburgh Pirates. This is my fifth season with the team. I oversee all the nutrition education, fueling for everyone from the major league team all the way down to our, and I say down, but all the way through our Dominican facility. We have two teams down there. I've been in sports nutrition for almost 17 years. I'm also a strength and conditioning coach, but that is not part of my job duties with the Pirates. So just, you know, really passionate about the whole concept of fueling and, you know, changing the mindset of healthy eating to fueling for performance, whether that's performance on the field, performance in the classroom, for whoever the population is. But just really changing the way that people view food and fueling and the way that they're supposed to, quote unquote, eat on a daily basis.
I'm Allie Gallup. I'm a sports dietitian and the major league dietitian for the Houston Astros. So I oversee the 40-man roster. And this is our first year where we're going to have a seasonal dietitian with AAA. So I'm excited to be a mentor to them. I oversee the nutrition needs for our guys, so supplements, hydration plans, catering at home and on the road, and like to take the approach to treat the human first for their health and then performance second.
So Allie mentioned having the AAA nutritionist. Wendy and Allison, do you have nutritionists underneath you in your organizations? Do you cover the whole thing yourselves? Like, how do you guys do it? I'm curious. Like, I've seen only what the Red Sox do and a little bit with the Pirates when I was there, but I'm always interested how other orgs are kind of dividing up the food, because it is a really big, big job, big task to handle.
Yeah, for the Pirates, so obviously last year threw a wrench in a lot of things, but typically, so right now I have my minor league coordinator, Courtney Ellison, and she's actually starting to, and she will be doing traveling with the major league team this year, just because it is such a big animal with all the, you know, food service restrictions and guidelines and stuff that we have to follow. And then I have a chef coordinator. So typically in a normal season, we have an intern, and that is either an RD or a chef at each affiliate. So it just depends on who applies, what the population of the candidates look like, where they fit best, and that sort of thing. But yes, we have AAA, AA, High A, and Low A. We'll have an intern at each of those affiliates. And it's looking like we're going to end up doing that again this year. Things got cut because of the, you know, COVID budget cuts and that sort of thing. But just as we're starting to wrap our mind around what this minor league season looks like and the increased demands of just being with the major league team, it's looking like we're going to go ahead and add those positions back for all of our affiliates. And then we have one person that will stay here down here in Florida. So me and Courtney and then Tomas, the chef, will travel, and then we'll have someone that stays down in Florida. So usually it's a staff of about seven.
For the Oakland A's, I was for a long time the only person who was working there, and I am for nutrition, and I am part-time, and it's really an undertaking. I think what people don't realize is just how much there is to do with respect to managing the food and also with respect to performance nutrition. For the majority of my time with the A's, I was mostly doing catering and some performance nutrition as it came up. And then toward the end, sort of right before COVID hit, we really started to adjust how my role was going to be. And I was able to hire somebody to help me with the road meal planning. Her name is Michelle Lago, and it's been great to have her. But then COVID hit. And so our grand plans to have me do a lot more performance nutrition and, you know, less catering and maybe help do more minor league stuff, it didn't really happen the way that we were hoping. So we're hoping to develop more minor league involvement, but that has not really happened yet.
Allison, it's cool that you have so many on your staff, and
it's amazing.
Yeah, it's really, really awesome. And I'm hoping that baseball kind of moves towards that because of how important nutrition is. And we were talking off camera, just, you can't please everybody. And the thing is, there is so much. My dad, by trade, is a chef, and now he's the executive director of dining services at a college. So I have a full understanding of how crazy it is to put together a menu and then have somebody tell you they're gluten-free and then have somebody else tell you they have this allergy. And then now you have to redo the whole menu for a couple people. And then you have this catering event and you have that event. And I've seen it, you know, growing up. So I always have an appreciation of people in food service and chefs and nutritionists. And I always tell people, like, I can make a good steak, but my dad can make a steak. You know what I mean? Like, he cooks, and it's like, it doesn't matter what he cooks. And then I tell him, like, Dad, you know, you should be a chef in baseball. I can get you in. He's like, no. Like, cooking for a team is different than cooking for you, your mom, and your brother. You know, I'm cooking for 3-4 people. Now I have to cook 40 grown men, and I have to, you know, take care of all their food needs, and it's a whole different ballgame. So I have an enormous amount of respect for everything that the nutritionists, the RDs, the chefs, everybody does on the food service side. So it's cool that they are putting that much in with the Pirates, and hoping the rest of baseball kind of follows suit with that. But let's get into this now. So we're going to have a webinar, okay? So this is the first podcast that I'm actually hosting that doesn't have professional baseball strength and conditioning coaches. And the PBS-CCS is linking up with the CPSDA for this webinar. The webinar is called The Importance of Nutrition, Strength, and Mental Health in Sports. All of you are going to be presenting on it. So we're going to first kind of dive into the CPSDA a little bit, what the organization is, and then we'll go into all of your individual topics, cover that, and really just kind of drum up some interest for this webinar. It'll be on April 10th, and it's only $25. So if you got $25 laying around, we have a great group of presenters, plus a couple strength coaches. It's going to be well worth it. But before we get into that, let's get into the CPSDA. I think, Allison, it's probably best that you kick us off with that and kind of tell us what the society is and what it's all about.
Sure. So the CPSDA is the Collegiate and Professional Sports Dietitians Association. And so we're an organization that helps reach the masses, really, from a sports nutrition perspective. So we originally started, and I was thinking about this a while ago, I think we're going on 12 years of being a formal organization. And so when we first started, there was like, you know, 15, 20 sports dietitians in the collegiate professional realm. And we were like, what can we do to kind of, you know, help each other out, be a resource and be advocates for each other and for our profession? How can we grow this thing that we see as real full-time jobs and make it something that everybody sees value in? And so just from there, you know, just a core group of people, we kind of just came together and created the organization. And so one of the missions was to create full-time positions in as many areas of collegiate professional sports that we possibly could. And so I mean, just thinking for, you know, going back to 2009, I remember there was like 30 of us sitting in a room in Nashville. Some of us didn't have jobs yet. Some of us did, but we were just still new. There wasn't a whole lot of, you know, resources for us. And now, you know, we have our annual conference and it's like, we have to cap it at like 400 people. And then we have to cap a certain number of students because there's so many people that want to come. And so it's really cool to see the growth, but I mean, there's tons of resources. So if you're interested, the website is sportsrd.org. And there's educational materials, resources. You can find a dietitian. It shows who, what schools, what professional organizations have full-time dietitians on staff. It shows what events we have. We do tons of stuff for the young and upcoming sports dietitians, from like leadership workshops, advanced practice workshops, you know. So it's more than just like, here's how to be a good dietitian. It's how to be a really great leader in whatever role you have. If you're, you know, the third assistant somewhere, or if you're the director, how can you still, you know, make the best of your experience? How can you continue to grow? All those things. So it's been really fun to be part of it throughout the years, watching it grow. And we're super excited to be part of this webinar with PBSCCS. And, you know, when we started talking about this, Matt and I he asked if we would be interested in hosting something or doing something in the spring, just to kind of give people something, and I don't want to say something to do, but just, you know, the education and it seems like a lot, especially in baseball, all of our education clumps in the off season. And that's when, you know, sometimes we just want to rest our minds or just take a little bit of a break. And so, yes, we are busy and we're ramped up right now, but let's just take a little bit of time and learn something and really just dig a little bit deeper in a time that might be full of a lot of other activities. But let's just pause for a second and see what we can learn from other professionals. And he really wanted to take the nutrition component of it and just see how we could relate it to mental health and that sort of thing. So we're really excited to be a part of it.
And to my knowledge, this is the first collaboration between the two groups, right? In a presentation format, webinar format.
Yeah. Yeah. So this will be good. This will be really great. We, dietitians were part of, the winter meetings, but I don't know. Well, I think CPSCA did sponsor one of the speakers. Yes, they did. Yeah. They sponsored, Abby Smith Ryan, I believe. And, and for winter meetings, but as far as like a real true collective class.
Yeah, and to be honest, and sorry for my ignorance here, I had never heard of the society. And I think a lot of people are the same with the PBSCCS. They're like, what is that? I've never heard of it. Like, you guys have your own society for professional strength coaches? Like, yeah, we have a website and everything. Like, it's a real thing. And it's really cool to hear you say that. And it's the same for us. Like, I've heard the stories of, like, a couple of strength coaches were in a meeting room with a whiteboard and they grew it to what it is now, that we have so many members and now we're putting on webinars and we're connecting with sports scientists and nutritionists and everything. And it sounds like it's been the same kind of growth path for your society. And that's, I mean, it's awesome that you're getting people jobs and you have to cap your events because you have so many people at them.
Yeah, it's been really fun. And yeah, like for strength and conditioning, you just think NSCA, and then you're like, oh, wait, there's tons of other branches of that. And it's the same with us, you know, the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, I guess you could call is the mothership, but you know, we just, there's a lot of things that have branched from that. So it's really cool.
Yeah, and as we said, this is a very important job and it's behind the scenes, so not a lot of people appreciate how much gets done. But the more full-time positions, the better people we can get in. And as you said, the better leadership in those positions, it just makes all of us look better in the long term, whether it's Strength Coach Society or Nutritionist Dietitian Society. So, but let's get into it. Let's talk about your discussion. So take your 15 seconds of fame or however you want to go, just title, topic or theme that you're going to present on, who you're kind of aiming it at, some big rocks you're going to cover, just really anything that you want to give. Maybe just short of giving the whole presentation, obviously we don't want to give everything away tonight, but you know, just whatever you want to present, the floor is all yours.
Sure, I'll go. So the title of my talk is Eating Disorders in Male Athletes During a Global Pandemic. And I have to say, this was a new one for me. I've been talking about the effects of the global pandemic quite a lot this past year. What's been interesting is that the pandemic has caused this exponential surge in eating disorders and disordered eating really across the globe. In the United States, we've had wait lists to see specialized practitioners that are long. Medical admissions to the hospitals are high, but this really has been a global trend that we have seen. There are headlines that in the UK, we're seeing the same thing. Ireland has reported 66% increase in their medical admissions. Saudi Arabia published a study that they're seeing more emotional eating and eating disorders. So we're really gonna, I'm gonna start by talking about that. And then we're really gonna focus on the prevalence of eating disorders in males and male athletes, which is both under-recognized and under-diagnosed. Their male athletes in general are really under intense scrutiny about weight and body composition. And as you know, with sports, often athletes in general, both females and males, are often assigned a weight goal that they're asked to reach, which may or may not be assigned or aligned, I should say, with their body's genetics. And weight is really one of 40 factors that affect sports performance. Some other factors, as I'm sure you wouldn't be surprised to hear, you know, toughness, concentration, skills training, endurance, flexibility, whether they're adherent to sports nutrition plans, hydration, right? So there's a lot of other things that affect how well somebody is doing on the field, yet there's a lot of scrutiny around weight as being such a focus, which does create a lot of pressure. So we're going to talk about these things. We're also going to be talking about things like muscle dysmorphia. What is that? Relative energy deficiency in sport, which I talk about probably every day in my practice at least once, which just talks about a mismatch of energy in versus energy out and the consequences that it has on sports performance. We'll talk about atypical anorexia, binge eating disorder, and then also if somebody does have an eating disorder, how do we go about nutritionally refeeding them given sensitivities to numbers and maybe obsessiveness or issues with compulsiveness around different sensitivities with respect to food and helping them to reestablish the relationship with food.
Before Allison or Allie go, I do want to comment on that one. And it is interesting that you bring it up as being under-recognized and like people just don't realize that males can have eating disorders too. Like, and I think part of the, like the macho man thing in baseball, it's like, oh no, I'm eating right. And it's like, are you though? Like, are you eating for your performance? Are you trying to look good under your uniform? Like there's a lot of things that go into it. And I think, like you said, it does get under recognized sometimes. And it is a topic that I don't think gets brought up enough. So I am really interested to hear that selfishly. And I'm sure there are going to be other people that are interested in it as well. And it's going to open some eyes.
Yeah, and I also think a lot of times the guys themselves don't recognize some of the symptoms that they're having as problematic. So it's sometimes not even that they're trying to hide it. It's also just that they simply don't recognize it as being a problem.
For sure. I'm really selfishly, I am looking forward to that one. I think for strength coaches, it's going to help us a lot to just hear that and be like, oh, I actually know a guy that kind of fits into. I need to direct him here or there. So I am interested in that one. That'll be a really, really good one. Allison, how about your topic presentation for the webinar?
Sure. And I've heard, just a side note, I've heard Wendy talk about this already, and I cannot wait to hear it again. I feel like there's, like, I'm just going to learn so much more, and I'm so pumped. But I, like you said, Chris, it is so important for strength coaches. And I think, you know, a conversation and a topic like what Wendy's going to talk about can really bridge the gap between the dietitians and the strength coaches, you know, because you guys recognize things that we don't. We're not in the weight room watching to see how many times they're looking at themselves in the mirror and being able to pick up on some of that stuff where, you know, then that conversation can be had with the dietitian. Hey, may not be anything, but you want to just check in with so-and-so or whatever. So yeah, Wendy, I'm pumped to hear it for the second time. And I also have the recording from the last one that I'm probably going to listen to again. So my topic is gut health for immune health. And so in this whole pandemic and over the last year that we've been going through what we've been going through, some of the, you know, everybody has this hyper awareness, and Allie will talk about this too, of the immune system and, you know, taking more vitamins and, you know, doing all this stuff to keep the immune system healthy. And what people forget is how much of the immune system is actually in the gut. And so by the gut, that's, you know, your intestines. And so one way that I like to explain it is there's 28 feet of immune system all wrapped up in your abdomen. Like, that's a pretty, it's incredible and just mind-blowing to think about. And so when 70% of your immune system is right there, it's important to take good care of it. And so, you know, some of the things that are going to negatively affect the gut health, and this is like every day for our athletes, it's stress, travel, physical activity for a long time in the heat, dehydration, poor diet, aging, I mean, other psychological stressors, medications they're taking. So, like, I mean, they'll all just be, like, listing them off, you know, one after another. And all those things can have a negative effect on the gut, which then has a negative effect on the immune system. And so how can we make sure that we are optimizing with the foods and the supplements that we're taking to make sure that we're healing the gut, keeping it healthy? I mean, some things are so uncontrollable. We cannot control, you know, games that get canceled, that now you have a doubleheader the next day, especially early in the season when you're playing in Chicago or Minnesota. You can't control the time zone changes. You can't control, you know, so many different things. And so, but what you can control is what you put into your system and how you can heal your gut, keep it healthy, and make sure that you're getting enough rest and that sort of thing. And so I'm really excited to just talk about, you know, what the immune system looks like, what are some ways to, you know, food and supplements to make sure that the gut is staying healthy. And I think with Allie and I together, just really pairing those two things up, getting people to realize, like, there's no way to prevent or cure different types of ailments or sicknesses or illnesses, but we can help, you know, mitigate some of that stuff or make them just in general feel better overall. Because I think that's probably one of the biggest questions that I've gotten in the last year is, how do I prevent COVID, or how can food cure it? And there's just not, like, there's no prevention or curing of things, but there are ways to optimize your health amidst all of those things. So
yeah, for me, hearing that, it's kind of the same for strength coaches, right? Like, we can't completely prevent injuries. We're just trying to mitigate risk of injury with our training, with our conditioning, things like that. And then the other thing to touch on there is, like you said, there's a lot of uncontrollables in sport. You know, professional baseball, we play every day. We travel time zones. We're away from our families. Sometimes we're with our families, which causes stress as well. And for me, it's not necessarily that players are the healthiest people in the world, because they're probably not. The game kind of already tells you, like, they're not going to be healthy. Like, they're eating a super late dinner and going to bed at 3 a.m. after pitching in the 9th inning and the adrenaline was pumping. Like, so you have to minimize how much like negativity, how much bad health there is. And they're never going to be like the peak of, you know, general health just because their schedule doesn't necessarily allow for it. There's too many things that are uncontrollable in that aspect, but we're trying to just minimize how bad those things affect their system. And as you said, you know, the immune system and gut health go hand in hand. So that will also be a very good one. So we're two for two. Allie, no pressure. We want to hear about your presentation now.
Absolutely. So mine is called Vitamins and Minerals for Immune Health for Athletes. I mean, one of the things that I noticed immediately once COVID hit last March and just being on Instagram was how many advertisements and influencers and people were talking about, you know, what should you be taking out of a bottle? How are you supposed to boost your immune system? And one of the big things that, you know, I always think about is like, okay, well, what are we trying to improve? You know, what is the immune system? And really take it a step further. You know, when I think about supplements in general, it always depends on what is the supplement? What are you trying to gain from it? Is there timing? Is there dosing? So rather than this broad statement of take, you know, X vitamin just to boost your immune system, it's like, well, what are we actually looking at? What is the dose? Are you taking enough? Now we all know NSF certified for sport. Does your product actually contain that? So it's digging a little bit more into, you know, what are we trying to target? One thing we don't want to do is boost the immune system. You know, there is the more is not always better. And so I think of it, you know, kind of like Allison alluded to, is you're trying to strengthen your immune system. So we can't prevent illness. We can't prevent COVID through food. But how can you strengthen your immune system almost like a coat of armor so that when you do get sick, it's not as severe and it doesn't last as long? So, you know, is the difference between having the sniffles but being able to play the game versus being out for 4 days and making your teammate sick? So a few of them that I'm going to talk about more in depth are vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc, and although it's not technically a vitamin or a mineral, probiotics. And there's some good research out there for upper respiratory tract infections, even before COVID became a common term in our day-to-day life. And so trying to talk about when is the, you know, what should you be consuming in a day? Do you need to take supplements for daily health needs? Like what would be the equivalent in food? And then when would be the appropriate times to introduce supplements? A lot of times I'll have athletes say like, oh, I read that, you know, I need to take more zinc. And it's like, well, no, like if you have a true deficiency, then yes, zinc would be great to take. But not just jumping to, well, zinc is good for immune health, therefore I need zinc. It's like, okay, well, let's set the scenario and do you actually need it? What are you eating? You know, as dietitians, there's a reason we have certain snacks in the clubhouse. They serve a purpose. And so it's also just trying to take that step and educate the athletes. So that's really an overview of what I was going to talk about.
The two that stand out for me, one, the more is not always better. I'm sure you've seen the guy that comes in and just like, I need every supplement you have.
Yeah, they look like a 70-year-old grandma. You're like, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, they've got like the handfuls of supplements that they're walking out of the weight room. Yeah. And then the other guy you said, you know, that I read, right, is like, I read this, like, I need to take creatine because I read this on Instagram. And it's like, do you really need it or you just read it on Instagram and you're automatically assuming you need to take it?
Yeah. So, big thing that surprised me, you know, I came from a collegiate background for sports nutrition, and there we were much more cautious about our recommendations for even sports performance supplements that are known to support performance. And then I came to the Astros and there was a supplement room, and I remember just thinking like, we have got to clean this up. And so now, you know, at the end of last season when we cleaned it out, there's just empty space everywhere. There's like a handful of supplements. I'm like, this looks so much better.
So. I also enjoy the player that comes in. It's like, when do I need to take this? When do I need to take this? So will you be addressing that as well? Just like, yeah. You know, timing and certain things like that with specific supplements?
Absolutely. Just like food, there's a time and place for everything.
Perfect. Well, I would say we're 3 for 3 then on presentations. Again, it's only $25. So if those three alone are not enough for $25, I don't know where you're spending $25 in a better place. Before we wrap this up, is there anything that we need to close on? Anything that you may have forgot that you want to hit on? Any last things that we need to discuss maybe about the webinar or just in general?
Not necessarily about the webinar, but I'm just excited and I'm really, really hopeful that the group that we reach just far exceeds our expectations. I'm very encouraged and I'm excited that PBS CCS really wanted to get high school coaches and strength coaches and collegiate strength coaches and all the registered dietitians and just so many groups involved in this webinar, because I think it's just scratching the surface of where we can go collectively, CPSCA and PBS CCS, and how many people we can reach with, you know, really good positive messages and getting people to think a little bit outside of what they're, you know, what they're used to, like we just talked about, reading on the internet or getting it from the information from the guy at the vitamin store. And so I'm really excited. And I'm really thankful to PBS CCS for getting us involved.
Yeah. And I think this will be able to reach those audiences, right? Like I know we're presenting on certain topics, but they can apply to more than just the professional athlete. And that's what makes me excited. I have my brothers in high school and like, I'm going to sign him up for this and tell him to listen, because all of these things are going to apply to him. Maybe not today, maybe they will, but at some point in his life, if he wants to continue playing sports past high school, all this stuff is going to be relevant to him. So I thank you all for taking time out of your schedules. I know spring training is always hectic and we like to get our sleep and everything. Thank you very much. And I will be in touch with you all. Stay safe and good luck this season.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
All right, everybody, that concludes our episode with Wendy, Allison, and Allie. I hope you enjoyed this one. And after listening to them, if you're not convinced to, you know, join our webinar and to hear them speak on their topics, I'm not sure what's going to convince you. It should be a really, really good event. And again, you can check it out at baseballstrength.org under the 2021 events tab. It's only $25. It's on April 10th. So go to the website, check it out, and thank you for listening, and thank you for supporting the PBS CCS and the CPSDA. And with that being said, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll talk to you again on the next one.